Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
What is that from? Is that from like Tijuana Brass or Herb Albert? That's what that is, right?
You asked me last time. It's Chicago.
Oh, no, it's Chicago. Yeah. Chicago. Of course it's Chicago. And I saw them. They're fantastic. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult. Bill McCosh joins me now, former chief of staff to the governor, campaign manager to Governor Thompson, a member of his cabinet, now a very successful lobbyist. Hello, Mr. McCosh.
Hey, Mitch, you didn't recognize it because it wasn't Frank Sinatra.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I go deep on Frank, but the other reasons for that. Steve is still on the line, too, so hang tough there, Steve. Now, first of all, on the gerrymandering, because we're on the gerrymandering, because I had a flashback and realized that Lee Dreyfus did die in 2008. So my proposal is that Governor Doyle and McCallum and Earl and Thompson sit in a room and do the maps. And you couldn't have more than one. You have to have an even number. They're not going to run again. Former governors, bingo, they do the maps. What do you think about that idea?
Well, to quote a former president, elections have consequences.
Well, I know they do, and I understand all that. But what I'm saying is, regardless of who's in charge, let's face it, both sides have always done this, right? I mean, they always do this. They draw the maps to their advantage, always.
Yeah, so whoever's in charge is going to do that. And if you control all three, you know, the House, the Senate, and the governor's chair, you got the shot to create the best map possible.
Correct. So if you wanted to try to do it and be fair about it, you would do what I'm suggesting. I'm saying, hey, Doyle and Earl would fight for the Democrats, Thompson and McCallum would fight for the Republicans, and bingo, you've got a fair map.
Yeah, but the issue here is whether or not the maps are what's causing the outcomes. I mean, because Republicans have picked up seats in 12, 14, and 16. And if the maps were truly partisan, that would only happen once, right? So it has something to do with the candidates, and it also has something to do with the message and the agenda.
Well, the maps are truly partisan. You would have it happen all the time. I mean, I know that...
Well, you wouldn't pick up more seats like the seat in
Buffalo.
Well,
2010...
This time around.
Yeah.
You know, that's a Democratic seat. And that, you know, it was, Chris Dano had that seat for many terms. I don't know if it was four or five. And, you know, he got beat in a wave year, partially because of Trump, frankly. I mean, the Trump turnout in central Wisconsin and parts of western Wisconsin was very high.
Yeah, no, I understand all that. But, you know, 2010, of course, it was before they drew the maps, and the Republicans had that good year. So they won before the maps were drawn in 2011. So then they had the chance to draw the maps in the Michael Best and Friedrich conference room or wherever they did it.
Yep. And then picked up seats in 12, 14, and 16.
By the way, that was Joe, the guy up north, Minocqua guy, right? Joe Hendrick. He did that, didn't he?
Huh? No, I don't know if he was involved in this most recent redistricting. He probably was.
2011? Oh, I think he was.
There's nobody better than Joe Hendrick.
No, I think he was the guy that did that. Because, you know, Reince Priebus was around, but he was in the law firm, but I don't think he did the work. I think it was Joe Hendrick.
He's the best. He knows what a Republican needs in every single township in the state of Wisconsin to win.
Well, that's why they had him in there in the conference room. But my here's my point. And you remember 2001, Tom Barrett tried to move $700,000 from his federal PAC. Jim Doyle sued. And then the election board, which had more Barrett supporters than Doyle supporters, voted for Barrett. In 2006,
right.
Mark Green tried to do the same thing. And yet the Government Accountability Board, more people supported Doyle than Green. So Doyle won the ruling.
Right.
So they're not fair, is my point. Nobody's ever fair, Bill. So if you wanted to be fair... You got to do my former governor plan.
I'll take it under advisement. Not that I have anything to do with it.
No, because you're not in a position of trying to be fair. I understand that. But I can do it because I'm not in the payroll, which we all know. But what can I say? I mean, I'd be shocked. Would you not be shocked if the Supreme Court didn't say, well, this is a political issue. The state should decide this. I mean, they've never ruled on the partisan map drawer gerrymandering they did on the racial question in North Carolina, but right. not on the partisan advantage that one party might have.
Well, the Supreme Court did two things. First, they took the case, and it could be precedential. It may not just apply to Wisconsin. It could apply to other states as well. But two, they stayed the ruling that Republicans had to draw new maps by November of this year for 2018. So the Republicans will run for re-election on the maps that exist today, and Governor Walker obviously doesn't have a map. His map's the entire state, but that should advantage Republicans for the 2018 cycle.
Well,
depending on what the national environment is.
They could redraw the maps by 2018 if they got a ruling by, say, June of 2018, right?
Yeah, I don't think they would do it that quickly because you have to get the local clerks involved and things like that. It's a lot.
It'd be tight.
Yeah, it would be really tight.
Yeah, but down the road, it would be significant if they ruled in favor of the Democrats. So
I think at the end of the day, and this is one where Trump being able to put a new member of the Supreme Court on, could help the Wisconsin Republicans.
Well, that's the Scalia seat, and that was already conservative. But Kennedy, go ahead.
It was 4-4 heading into that. If he wasn't able to get...
No, I understand. No, you're right. I know. But by the way, the vote on the stay was 5-4, right?
Right, yeah.
So that could bode well, but yet you can't predict Supreme Court rulings. By the way, speaking of the courts, Alan Dershowitz, who's a Harvard law professor and Democrat and voted for gave money to Hillary Clinton, has been going on the talk shows saying that there is no crime in the Russia case. And that there's no obstruction, and the whole thing's a scandal in search of a crime. What do you think about that?
I think he's right about that. And truthfully, I think if you cut through the crap of what James Comey said in his multiple testimonies, or the Clapper guy, they said the same thing. There's no there there.
Well, Clapper lied under oath about the mega data.
Good God.
Rand Paul brings that up all the time.
I think it's all sort of a smear campaign to try and reduce Donald Trump's effectiveness, but they're not having very much success at it.
Well, beta, not mega.
Meta.
metadata. But you could also say megadata.
Metadata.
What is it? Metadata?
I'm with Rand Paul on that. I don't want the government looking at my phone records or any of that kind of stuff. I'm more libertarian when it comes to that.
Yeah, but your days of 900 numbers are all long gone, Bill.
Too old.
Might as well be Grandpa Walton at this point.
Sure.
Governor Thompson said he hired you because you could work late because you didn't have any kids. That was what he's. That was like 30 years ago. Come on. That was way back.
This is the 30th anniversary of Tommy's first inauguration.
Oh, my God. Time flies.
Tomorrow, the state assembly is going to pass a resolution naming November 19th Tommy Thompson Day in Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah, so Mrs. Thompson and Tommy the daughter will be there, and so will several former staffers, including me.
How about that, man?
Yeah.
November 19th. Wow.
That's his birthday.
Oh, cool. The basketball season's already underway. That's one of my favorite times of the year right there. Now we got to move on if we can here. Donald Trump, right. Is he going to survive? What's going to happen on the timetable? Because Robert Mueller is hiring these Democrats, these good lawyers, and they're going for the throat on business dealings or obstruction or whatever the case. So what's your prediction? Will this go on for 6 months, a year, a year and a half?
How long did the Ken Starr investigation of Clinton go on? It was like 4 years. Once you open these things, they can go on forever, and they can take on a whole different life depending on what evidence or perceived evidence that they find. So I think it's all a distraction. I think there's no there, but that doesn't mean they aren't going to try everything in their power to try and find something.
Well, okay, but in the meantime, though, the president has to be on Twitter and have the last word and fire back all the time, and he doesn't.
Which we've never seen before. How many people take on the intelligence community the way he has?
Nobody.
It's astounding.
We got Steve still on the line. I'm sorry, Steve, but weigh in if you'd like on this, because...
Well, I'm warming up to your idea of having the governors do it, only if they have to use dice.
Well, there you have it. Well, it could have heated in that room, I'll tell you that right now.
You know, but regarding this Trump smearing, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. You know, everybody met with Russians, and they had Russian, I don't know, white Russians to drink, and, you know, it's just Russia, 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 Russia. And it seems to me that the Trump administration has been vetted more by the media and by Democrats looking for dirt and by the independent counsel than possibly any presidency in a long, long time. Maybe Clinton was up there. I don't know, but the media wasn't given, you know, Clinton a rectal exam.
No, they wanted the juicy, you know, tawdry details. But you know, as far as obstruction and perjury, they couldn't get a simple majority in either count. So I don't think he had negative press during that part of it.
Yeah, and it just I just wonder. I mean, how many administrations have had people on staff that have met with Russians that maybe the meeting was on the books or not on the books?
Well, the meeting, Steve and Bill McCashin, there's a meeting. Also, okay, they have Manafort meeting with a Russian businessman during the campaign. He was a former Ukrainian official, maybe Russian intelligence, KGB. But what's Manafort going to do? Oh, yeah, we talked about hacking the DNC computers. I mean, they're not going to say that, right? And they're not going to
And plus, he's bringing in businessmen. I mean, these are international businessmen.
No, I understand.
So you're basically saying you want an international businessman that's not international.
Well, my point is, all the Russian businessmen have some dirty connection, but how are you going to possibly prove what happened in the meeting?
They don't have to prove what happened in the meeting, Mitch. They have to smear.
Well, no, but you got to prove what happened in the meeting if you want to get somebody impeached or convicted or indicted.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, indicted, yes, but impeached, no. You can impeach.
Well, that's true. I understand you. But Bill McCashin, will they do? I mean, the Republicans have the votes, and if they don't have the control of the House in the next time, they'll still have to get 67 votes in the Senate to convict. I mean, come on.
I don't see it. It's never going to happen.
I mean, it's a tall order. I mean, Bill Clinton, the votes were with him, but they couldn't get a simple majority. You know, to convict on perjury or obstruction. So, you know, by the way, the Republicans screwed up. In 98, they should have had that David Shippers guy. It was the lawyer in the House. Should have had him argue it on the floor of the Senate. James Sensenbrenner, he was not well equipped for that. I mean, you talk about egos. Anyway, I don't see it. So this goes on. But if they get the tax bill done or the health care bill, then, you know, Trump pounds his chest, right? I mean, you know.
Those are the two big ones, and those are the biggest risks for Republicans. If they don't deliver on those two things, I think they're going to get punished.
By the way, they could deliver in terms of lowering premiums for a majority of the people, but if they have 20 million or 15 million or 10 million who don't have insurance, I mean, those are all the commercials, those are the interviews on the street.
Yeah, I mean, you know this as well as anybody, Mitch. Nobody will feel that before November of 2018 because the whatever plan they replace Obamacare with won't take effect before the next election.
Well, that's true. So the 20 million who you see at the town halls when they say, I paid $29 a month and my husband's had five surgeries and thank God for Barack Obama, those people will still have that, you're saying.
They'll still have it.
Until after the election.
Yeah, so there'll be no urgency necessarily for them to go turn out Republicans. McConnell announced today that the Senate will have their version of the ACHA on Thursday of this week, and they could vote as soon as next Thursday or Friday.
Can you believe that Mitch McConnell would have been able to get a bill done by July 4th? I mean, I just can't believe it.
I can't either. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what's in it and whether he can get the three hardest core conservatives to come along, because if he doesn't have all three, or at least one of the three, he can't pass it. And that's Mike Lee from Utah, Ted Cruz from Texas, and Rand Paul from Kentucky. He's got to have at least one of those three to get to 50.
What about the moderates who want to go the other way with, you know, Collins and Portman?
You've got to assume the bill's going to be more moderate than the House anyway. And Trump has basically said he wants it to be more moderate than the House.
Right.
So, I mean, he didn't really help things when he called the House bill mean after giving them high fives for passing it.
Well, as I just discussed with Roger Stone, the president doesn't speak in legal sort of linear sentences. He just kind of throws it out there mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Gets him in trouble. But anyway, but you think Trump will survive this? And
I do.
So what's going to happen? The Never Trumpers, and we know who they are. They, like Charlie Sykes and locally Rick Berg and other people, they never stop. They just keep coming at you, like 10 emails a day.
I think people are tuning it out. I mean, I still follow Charlie, but it's, I mean, 9 out of 10 of his tweets a day are anti-Trump. And it's, I mean,
yeah.
Sort of tune that out after a while.
You know what happens? And I do 2 minutes with Mitch, which you sponsor, by the way. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Do you know that when I do that, if I talk about Trump, either the lefties are mad if I don't say, you know, execute him tonight, and the conservatives don't want to hear about it. So it's a bad topic to do, because you can't satisfy either camp. So, you know, you get like 67 hits. If I talk about Edgewood neighbors being snobby, I'll get 2,000 hits, you know. I mean,
I'm with you on that. They should have lights on that field, damn it.
Well, that got 2,000 hits, I'm telling you right now. But Trump, you'll get 65 hits because you can't. Now, if I said impeach Trump tonight or, you know, have him hanged at dawn, I would have 1,000 lefty hits. You know, I would. And then if I said the media is causing all this and Trump's done nothing wrong, I'd do it the other way. But, of course, as you know, I have trouble doing that, so. Anyway, Bill McCashin, I appreciate you being on. Steve, thank you very much.
Good to be back on. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you so much, and I'm sure your friends will have heard you on Facebook Live. All right.
See ya.
Take care, and you can hear it, of course, on MadisonTalks.com. A couple of issues. The suicide case, I'm going to get to it. It really has me scratching my head. In a moment, the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money. People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Let our family help your family.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
I would just say one thing about health insurance, and it's so true that the TV spots would be on the millions who would lose their insurance, even if they won't lose till after the election. They'd be on TV doing their interviews. But when they did Obamacare at the beginning, 85% of the people in the country had insurance then. 65% of those people liked it. So the others had rotten insurance, and, you know. But now, the polling is not so good. You know, premiums have gone up quite a bit. There's like 30% of the counties in the country have like one or zero carriers. So, you know, it's just, it's not going, you know, but the argument is whether you fix what you have or you overhaul it again. And of course, it was passed with no Republican votes. So when the Republicans take over, what are they going to do? You know, it's like F-U, F-U too, right?
I mean,
so here, now tax reform. Oh, that's exciting, Mitch. Well,
I say poll the people who didn't like their insurance before and see if they wish it was back the way.
Oh, I see. Well, it's always greener on the inside of the fence, isn't it? So you have a case where we haven't overhauled the tax code for 30 years. And everybody complains about the tax code, right? Even though you may be, Wisconsin residents have one of the higher standard deductions, which means you can't be taxed on the first $9,000 of income or whatever. Well, under this Republican plan that I heard today from Ryan, they want to double the standard deduction, the federal standard deduction, which is in its own way progressive because you shield that amount from being taxed. And so then whatever you have after that, you're taxed and, well, whatever. Here's Ryan talking to the National Association of Manufacturers about overhauling the tax code.
We will eliminate harmful, burdensome taxes, including the death tax and the alternative minimum tax. Next, we will clear out special interest carve-outs and expensive deductions and focus on keeping those that make the most sense. Home ownership, charitable giving, retirement savings. We will consolidate the existing seven brackets into three, double the standard deduction, and simplify things to the point that you can do your own taxes on the form the size of a postcard. This, instead of the 1040 form. Wouldn't that be nice? This is within our reach. And finally, and most importantly, we will use the savings from eliminating these loopholes to lower tax rates. Let me say that again. We're going to cut taxes. But if... Yeah, you heard that right. Yes. Not up, down. But if we're going to truly fix our tax code, then we've got to fix all of it, both for individuals and for businesses. You know why we're going to do that? Because it's going to create jobs. That's what this is about. That's what this is all about. It's about jobs, 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 good paying jobs. As a matter of fact, The Nonpartisan Tax Foundation estimated that our blueprint would create 1.7 million new full-time jobs. How do we do it? Well, right now, we have the worst business tax system in the industrialized world. Most people don't really know this, but here in America, 8 out of 10 businesses file their taxes as individuals. In fact, most of our jobs come from these new and these small businesses. And under our crazy system, successful small businesses pay a top marginal tax rate of 44.6%. It's crazy. Look, you all know this, but manufacturing employs more than 12 million Americans and adds more than $2 trillion to our economy every year. And the overwhelming majority of these companies are small businesses. At the same time, our corporate tax rate, the one that taxes the rest of American businesses, it's 35%. Let me try to put this in a global perspective. Overseas, which where I come from means Lake Superior. Companies in Canada, they pay just 15%. Heck, the average tax rate on businesses in the industrialized world is 22.5%. Yet our corporations pay 35% and our successful small businesses pay 44.6%. How can we compete like that? We can't.
Okay, this takes me back to 86 when they did some massive reforms. Remember the Reagan tax reform bill? Had Danny Rostenkowski on the House Ways and Means Committee, who was working with Reagan on that bill. And they cut the top rate on the individuals from like 70% to 28%. It was massive. But revenues went up and not down. So it's, you know, you can talk all you want about that. But this would be, and he wants to keep the deductions for mortgage interest, charitable donations, and retirement savings. Does that mean your 401k is taxed? I don't even know what the taxes are on that right now. But I, you know, so that would be part of the deal. Of course, the alternative minimum tax and the inheritance tax, which he would get rid of, death tax, that helps rich people. Of course, that will be opposed by the Democrats. But they want to double the standard deduction, which would be good for poor people. And the rates, I mean, as it is now, half the people don't pay federal income taxes at all because you have deductions and you have tax credits for kids and so forth. So if half the people don't pay anything for defense or for a lot of discretionary spending. They pay through payroll taxes out of their check for Social Security, Medicare, but for a lot of the other stuff, defense, and pay zero. I mean, the top 3% of households pay as much federal tax as the bottom 97% of households. Households are not equal, obviously. A big thriving household of two parents and five kids is not the same as a senior citizen living a home with a hot plate. So, you know, households are not apples to apples, but that's the stat. And in terms of income taxes, the top 10% pay 70% of the taxes. We can go all down the line on that. You could say, well, it's not the percentage of the wealth, Mitch. You want the percentage of the wealth. Well, actually, what you want is a tax plan that will bring in the most money. That's what you want. And if the rich are going to put their money in a brown sack in the Cayman Islands, it's not what you want, right? We'll talk about this later, but so it's not always the case where if you have confiscatory rates on the rich, you're going to get more money. It's just proven to be the other way around. They will put it at risk. They don't just put it into gold bars. They don't just put it under their pillow. They do something with it. If they don't spend it, it means inflation is lower. And inflation being low helps the poor also. All right, fine, I'll stop. We still have Dennis Tiziani on the senior golf tour. We're going to give him a call here. He's a busy guy. And we have the suicide case, which I want to get to on the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com. 6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the Major League record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top three comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
All right, we're back live, and on the phone, Dennis Tiziani, the legend of Wisconsin golf, pro at Cherokee. I don't know what your exact title is, director of Cherokee, Grand Poobah King, I'm not sure what it is, but...
A maintenance man.
Well, I've seen you drive that truck out to try to fix my swing, which is an amazing job, but... And your brother, the brother's a head pro, I should point that out, but Larry Tiziani, but...
He's a big shot. He's a big shot, dude.
You guys would play for money as kids. I'm sure it would get pretty physical. Probably start wrestling. I'm guessing.
That's right. How are you?
I'm good. And you're getting ready for the big American Family Senior event at University Ridge after watching your son-in-law, Steve, shoot 5-under at the Open. You might be proud of that, huh?
Yeah, really good. That's a good score no matter what. And he did great. You know, he was focused, and he's still focused, which is great. It's been this way ever since he found out that the USGA wasn't going to give him an exemption. So
yeah.
He's been after it, you know. So he's doing great.
Well, that's fantastic. I got to tell you, I thought the course was fine. You know, you read Facebook, and people don't even know how to pick up a club, saying it's too easy for the Open. Hey, eight of the top 12 in the world didn't make the cut, and Friday and Sunday they weren't tearing it up.
No, it wasn't. I thought it was really good. If I were to make a change, I would probably make the fairways a little narrower, but make the rough a little bit wider. So when you roll off the fairway, you roll through the rough, not into the junk. But other than that, it was great. The greens were fabulous. They hadn't had anybody play on it since October, you know. So the whole thing was really good. I give them a lot of credit. USGA kind of backed off a little bit and let people play and make some score. And there were a lot of yelling, lots of yelling going on. People were excited and eagles being made. I mean, I just thought it was great. It was great for Wisconsin, obviously, but the USGA did a really good job here.
What do you think the whole Brooks Koepka, the whole Charles Atlas muscle-bound thing, is that the new direction of the game? I mean, he and Dustin Johnson, they're in there with the weights all the time.
Yeah, it's different today than when we played. Persimmon has a lot of balls and, one style of shaft. Now there's all kinds, and the weighting is different on the club. The ball is different. In fact, now you match the ball with the club to get the maximum velocity off the club face with the ball because the competition, the ball is different. So it's so technical, so much different now than it was before. And I got an opportunity to sit and talk with Davis Love for a while. He's really a good guy and everything. He's caddying for his son.
Sure.
And I said, how was that? He said, well, all I did was carry the bag because, on one hole, he said, it was 187. It was a little downwind, but 187. And he hit a pitching wedge.
Oh,
he said, I could never club him. Pitching wedge.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, it's just incredible. Oh, yeah. But Brian Harman was 295. I mean, it's not like he's that short.
154 pounds or whatever he is.
I mean, he's not like Mark Brooks, who, by the way, is now playing in the senior event, I understand. But
yeah, he'll be here.
Now, Jerry Pate and Mark Brooks, they got in because Lehman and somebody else didn't play. Is that what happens? Or?
Yeah, I think that's it, yeah. And those are great guys. I mean, that Jerry Pate, I played in the Open that he won back to down
76.
Yeah, he won that. I played in that Open, and he played great. He was a good player. He's a great player, and he still is. So it's what's amazing? These guys are in such good shape.
Yeah.
They're 50 to 60 years old, and they really are in good shape. Core body is good, lower back, pecs and abs. I mean, all the good stuff. It's very cool.
Well, and so now Steve goes from playing this monstrous 7,800-yard course to playing the Ridge. Now, I played the Ridge not recently, but, 13, 14, those are short holes. So I wonder what they can do. I guess that's the way it is, right?
Yeah, you'll get guys. I mean, they're going to drive it on the green or come close to it. They did last year. They took a driver out, and, they drove it right down there. So, but that's okay. It's good for golf, too, and
what the hell?
It should be great.
Steve said last year that the biggest issue for him was the fact that the locker rooms weren't really that big. I mean, they weren't used to that in that locker room. You had three guys in a locker. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's good. But I think they're looking at something there, too, to make that an expanded deal at come time. But, for the first time, phenomenal. Second time is going to be really good. And to get that kind of contributions back to our society here. 38 people or 38 groups received money from that tournament, and of course the big one was Children's Hospital. I don't know. You can't say enough about it. An American Family. What a job that they did. Group that really did the job. They were awesome in doing it, and it's really good.
And you can sit on those hillsides and see without having to be seven rows back, like with those periscopes,
Well, that's one good thing about it, It's a beautiful place. I mean, keep in mind, it's a world-class designer who did that. Trent Jones did that thing there, and he did pretty good. He's very much a Target Golf type person, but now these boys are just taking it right over.
Well, the only holes that really seem pretty easy are 13 and 14, maybe 15.
Yeah.
15, you got to hit a dogleg left, right? But
yeah.
Everything else, 16 is kind of short, but you could make that tougher.
Yeah, you know, it is. And it's still, you know, that, you know, there's still a four-inch hole there, you know? I mean, you still make the putts. And that's the big item there on the, that course is the putting.
Right, you know,
without knowing about, you know? And,
yeah.
And then you can putt, you know, on top of that ridge. It's totally different than it is on the sides of it.
Well,
but it's going to be it's a great place to play, a great venue. It benefits. I don't know a loser in this deal, you know. It's just.
Well, 17 under won last year, but so what is my point? I mean, you know, somebody's got to win, and Kirk Triplett played those short holes the best.
Did you hear all the yells? That's the deal. You know, keep in mind, it's still about the fans, and are they enjoying what's going on? And they did.
Sure,
the hiccup they had with the parking, big deal, you know.
And they fixed that by the fixed that by the time I got to the courts on the first day at 2 o'clock, it was fixed.
Right.
By the way, on the Open, I just want to make one. The fact the USGA didn't grow long grass around the greens, I thought was great because for years they would grow long grass around the greens. You can't chip out of that. Ray Floyd would say nobody can chip out of long grass, so they would take chipping out of the game. And so now chipping was part of the game, which is the way it should be.
I thought it was great. That's what I say. They compromised a little bit, USGA. They've had some hiccups in the past with some rulings and stuff, and I think they atoned for those and did a real good job in this tournament. I only hope that I hear that it's going to come back again in a rotation of 8 to 12 years, you know?
Well, it's open in 27 at this point. I think the USGA liked it. I think they could probably do what you say. And bring the grass, you know, make the fairways a little more narrower. But boy, you could if the wind blows. I mean, if the wind blows every day the way it did on Friday and Sunday, you would have had a winner at about 6 under. You know.
Yep, that's right. You know, it was raining. I mean, perfect conditions. The greens were approachable, soft, and no wind. I said, oh boy. So, I think the course did great. I got to give them a lot of credit. They really. I played the opening round there. Bob Lang, Bob didn't play, but Steve and I played.
Yeah.
And I really didn't quite see U.S. Open on it. I didn't see it, but boy, they sure did it. They made it perfect, and I don't know what was wrong with it. You know, can't find anything wrong with it.
Eight
it was really good. And
when 8 of the top 12 in the world don't make the cut. Then you know it's a tough course. You know, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They underestimated it a little bit, or they maybe underestimated their competition because take a look at some of the amateurs who played pretty good also.
Oh, sure,
and,
yeah.
You know, there were some good boys. Then you got the 50-year-old guy that stepped right in there too, you know. So.
And he looked very good, and, you know, he could still win a major, I have no doubt about it. But I still wanted to get you on the new Purdue courses. I'm telling you, it's one of my projects because they're phenomenal. Pete Dye.
Oh, yeah.
Pete Dye.
Oh, yeah.
You and Sam Carmichael can play, and I can just ride in the cart and watch.
We could tell stories, you know.
Yeah, I could tell jokes.
I can just tell you that one, you know, way back. There's only been, in the history of Big Ten golf, there's only been, well, now there's two, but I was the first one to win a Big Ten championship, the same coach, for men and women, in the same year.
Oh.
Well, go fast forward a little bit, and... So Sam has won major a lot of championships.
IU coach, we should tell the people at home,
Yeah, and Indiana. And he, all of a sudden, he's in contention. So I stayed and watched him, and darn if he didn't win it. So I'm going back to the car, and he's coming out of the old clubhouse on at Michigan State. And he comes over, and he gives me a big hug, and he whispers in my ear, "Now there's two of us." So that bugger, he knew all along, you know. He wasn't going to
Oh, sure.
Did in front of him.
Well, yeah.
He's a great player, you know. He's a good
player.
Oh,
sure. Martinsville Country Club.
He finished second, I think, out in Phoenix or Tucson one year.
Well, Joe Campbell, as you know, the Purdue coach for years, he won at, I think, Tucson, and he lost in a playoff for the Crosby. And he also won
1955. And I have the putter. And I have his putter.
Well, I thought he was still at Purdue in 55, but maybe I'm off on the dates.
No, 55, come on.
Well,
he wasn't there.
Joe Campbell, 55. Yeah, I'll have to go back.
In 1955, not 55 years old. I got his putter.
You're saying
there.
He was on.
In fact, I'm using it now.
You're saying he was on tour by 1955.
So he, in 1955, okay. He's in his second in that tournament. Yeah,
sure. Doug Ford. I thought it was Doug Ford who beat him, but he also won at New Orleans, by the way, Joe.
Yeah. Well, he could hit it closer with a wood than you can with an 8-iron,
well,
or I could with an 8-iron.
He said, he goes, shoot a couple, and I hit a couple. He goes, no, you're hooding it coming back. I hit that high draw then. He goes, your hands are in a cast the first 6 inches. That's where it happens,
that's
son.
Right.
That's where it happens.
Right.
Man, oh,
that's
man.
That's exactly right.
He was an amazing
guy.
Well,
that part didn't change, you know. Some of the physics didn't change. But the way that they're moving the
ball. But you know what? You watch Steve Stricker, and it does look like his hands are in a cast the first 6 inches because he took.
Yeah, they are.
He doesn't have the wrist action.
I used to have a shock collar on him. You know, you couldn't do that. You can't bend it, you know. It's got to stay, you know, that's a. I did this with Jordan Niebuhr, the same thing, you know, and made it so that I put a pencil in the back of his wrist with a rubber band, and I wouldn't let him bend his wrist back. And we got all done hitting. He said, is that all there is? I said, well, Jordan, it's pretty good. I said, now, we'll still say our deal, right? I mean, you're going to finish school.
Yeah.
Not if I win the Open. That's what he told me. Looked right at me, didn't smirk nothing.
No.
This was two years ago at the British Open. Not if I win the Open, he said.
No.
Damn if he didn't do it.
These kids are amazing. Okay. Well, it's good to know you and Joe Campbell have the same first 6 inches belief in the swing. I've just learned that. So
that's where you make a mistake. If the club head moves faster than your core body, you got a problem.
That was always my problem, but now it doesn't matter. Anyway, thank you so much, Dennis Tiziani, and on the Golf Effect Show with Paul Brown, which is a great show, a national type show,
thank
and
you.
It's on 2 days a week now, isn't it, Dennis?
No, it's still Monday.
Oh,
that's all I can take it.
They don't replay. I mean, I thought they they replay it. I think, but Monday.
Oh yeah, they do on. Yeah, they do.
Saturday?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think that's the day they do it, yeah.
But that's a great show. And enjoy the event.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot. Dennis Tiziani, the legend. The Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim Rail knew everything with the area. He knew the schools. He knew the market was doing and what it trended as far as exactly where we should go in as far as the price to put an offer on and what we should ask for our old house.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would definitely recommend Tim Rail to anyone that was buying or selling a house. We had a great experience, and I think they would, too.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show. Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York. Especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Well, Joe Campbell did not win the 1955 Tucson Open. I'm going to be texting Dennis Tiziani here after the show. I'm through 58, and it's not Joe yet. Lionel Hebert won in 58, by the way. Now we're getting really weird on this. All right, now here's the other topic. I don't have time to get into it heavily, but you know, the one we have the sound, right? The woman in Massachusetts, she's a minor, I guess, but she tells her boyfriend, or, you know, go ahead and kill yourself. He was going to kill himself, and she goes, you didn't do it. You don't have the guts. Go ahead and do it. So he does it. Carbon monoxide, the whole thing. So the judge convicts her of involuntary manslaughter because she told him to kill himself. Here's the sound from the judge in the end here.
This court finds that instructing Mr. Roy to get back in the truck constituted wanton and reckless conduct by Ms. Carter, creating a situation where there is a high degree of likelihood that substantial harm would result to Mr. Roy. Ms. Carter, please stand. This court, having reviewed the evidence and applied the law thereto, now finds you guilty on the indictment charging you with the involuntary manslaughter of the person Conrad Roy III.
So, guilty, and they haven't been sentencing yet. But and the question is, and it's horrible what she did. It's just evil. But are you responsible if you tell somebody to jump in the lake or kill yourself or hope you kill yourself? Actually, in a very strange way, before the plane crashed in Clear Lake, Iowa, with Buddy Holly in 59, with Richie Valens and Big Bopper, Waylon Jennings lost the coin toss and couldn't fly. He had to go on the bus.
Right.
And said, I hope that plane crashes. You know, I mean, he wasn't. But, so are you going to say that somebody's responsible for somebody else doing it? Or if you tell the cop, if you're at a big rally, you say, kill the cops, somebody shoots a cop, are you guilty of involuntary manslaughter? I mean, you know.
Yeah, Facebook bullies.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, Facebook bullies. I'd go on there right now and get trolled by 80 people and, you know, want to go home and have ice cream. That's what happens, you know. Eating is an emotional thing. It's like drugs and alcohol, probably. Well, of course, once you start on the drugs and alcohol path, you know, it gets pretty dicey pretty fast. It takes longer to eat the ice cream. I think I gained 40 pounds just in that first year after the divorce. You know, you're messing around and you're paying big money, and I think that's when I start eating. But I mean, you know, so yeah, I mean, things can cause you to handle stress the wrong way. I mean, or you could not eat. You can just not eat and be anorexic, whatever it is. I had an anorexic landlord once, a female. She said, my father could tell me what to do, but he couldn't tell me to eat or not to eat. Mm. I could control that. So it was her way of rebelling against her father because she had control and he couldn't control that.
Over that aspect, yeah.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of deep psychological and emotional things, but to say this woman is guilty or responsible for what she said, I mean, where does that lead?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
I mean, she's not somebody I want my son to marry, put it that way.
She put the rag in the tailpipe, though. I mean,
that's right. Boy, you know, my sixth grade history teacher died that way. In the garage.
Yeah.
Is that what you do? You go in the garage and I guess they fall asleep and that's it, right?
That's what they say.
It was the scene in House of Cards, you know, when Kevin Spacey killed the, Frank Underwood killed the congressman, you know, from Pennsylvania. Of course, he was in the passenger seat, which I could never figure out why he would do that. Hmm. We're getting off the tracks here. What I'm saying is, do you think you should be convicted, and you can email me and tell me or Facebook me, for telling somebody to kill themselves or kill somebody else? Or
go ahead and jump.
Otherwise, you're kind of, you know, you're like the puppeteer.
Right.
You know, you're like George C. Scott and Hustler. Paul Newman. I mean, you're kind of, you know, you're Roy Cohn with Joe McCarthy, or you're Roger Stone with Donald Trump. I mean, nobody can. It's like you put money into a business venture, and it doesn't generate the revenue you thought. I mean, nobody placed a gun to your head, right? I mean, we all make decisions we regret, or we all do things that didn't turn out the way we would like, but are you responsible? Is somebody else responsible?
Yeah.
Like, can I blame my ex-wife for going to the Taco Bell at bar time to get her a burrito supreme? Who did that? I mean, who went? I would always go and get cigarettes and go to the store and get cigarettes. And finally, when you say, get your own cigarettes, that's when it's over,
yep.
Right? I mean, that's when it's over, because they don't have the ability to say, can you go, you know, give me some cigarettes, give me a burrito supreme, give me a taco, whatever. And you finally say, no, get your own. And that's when the divorce happens. Like, you can't wear that tie. I like this tie. Well, why are you being this way? Well, I mean, let's face it. If you're going to sometimes, you know, you're going to go in pairs, you better do what the other half says or it won't be a pair. Wives have gone through, you know, thousands of years of bondage. Let's face it, you know. But that's, I mean, in life, you want a 50-50 relationship to be healthy, and you want to respect each other and not take it personally. And if somebody does want to get into your skin and hurt you, then they have some problems themselves. That's what happens, right? And so don't hang around them. Or don't let them bother you, because then they win and you lose and you destroy yourself and you go off into some ice cream. Okay, we figured it all out, haven't we? We've gotten full circle.
Life.
You got your own podcast on MadisonTalks.com. We have a lot right now, including Tommy Thompson, which you played before the show, and we're going to work with that. Anyway, check it out. Or you can do your own podcast here. We record in the studio. When you record, you're live all over the world. We'll post it on MadisonTalks.com. Thanks for checking us out on Facebook Live as well. We thank Bob Keller, the spacer on West Washington Avenue. And he's got places to check out: Tuscan Place, Washington Court, the West Side, Whitcomb Square for seniors. Go to KellerApartments.com. That's KellerApartments.com. Mike Brockveld, we thank you. Studio engineer extraordinaire, Bob Abella, Wide World of Radio next. Radio classic from the 30s and 40s. Great stuff. All the famous stars of the day are on there. Let's keep in touch. You can email me, Mitch@MitchHank.com. We'll talk turkey. And we have a big announcement coming up soon about the show. We'll see you next time.